welcome to another teaching here at Hope in the Word. And if this message ministers to you, I hope that you'll share it with your friends. Today, I want to talk about nothing takes God by surprise. I think this is such a timely message for the era that we're living in, especially with the chaos in the world today. That's a good thing to know, that nothing takes God by surprise. Now, I'm going to be dealing with one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm going to be dealing with Jeremiah 29:11. So I want you to go ahead and find that in your Bible, because we're going to be dealing with this. Now, I will be using the NIV. I typically use the New King James Version when I teach, but I just love how the NIV says this scripture. And it's one of the most quotable scriptures. If you talk to people that are giving you their favorite scripture, they'll quote this Jeremiah 29:11 from the NIV because of the way it's worded. So we're going to go there in just a moment. You know, sometimes life is going to take you by surprise, and you're going to be hit with things that you weren't expecting. There are things like job loss and sickness and people moving and death and sometimes disappointment or sometimes just failed plans. And let me just tell you something else that's going on that sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's not loss. It's not change. It's not transition. It's a time of seed sowing. And you know what that looks like? That looks like nothing is happening. It's where you are sowing seed that will bring a harvest later. But in the moment that you're sowing the seed, you feel like a failure. You feel like your plans have failed. You feel like nothing is happening. And what you don't realize is in the spirit realm, everything is happening. This is where God's teaching you to pray, or God's teaching you to depend upon Him, or God's teaching you the lesson of trust or faith. God's removing your doubts. God's shoring up your constitutions within you. He is working on things like integrity and honesty and character building and respect and honor and all of those things that go along with life that we need, but no one knows where to go and get it. So sometimes in life, it's not that bad things are happening. It's just that nothing is happening. And when nothing is happening, we don't always know how to read that. Sometimes when nothing is happening, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just means that you're in a season of sowing seed and your harvest is going to come later. But can I tell you this? Regardless of what happens in your life, whether it is nothing or whether it is something horrible like a loss or a sickness or an unexpected surgery, well, the good news is nothing takes God by surprise. You know, I heard something a few years ago that just absolutely motivated me in my faith. I was told that an amateur chess player can see 3 moves ahead. Now, I must not even be an amateur chess player because I can't even see 3 moves ahead. But a person who's an amateur at chess already has their predictable moves. If you move here, they're going to move here. If you move here, they're going to move here. And they already know what they're going to do 3 moves ahead. But a professional, a master, can already see 30 moves ahead. He knows where he's going to play in the next 30 moves, regardless of which chess piece that you move on that board. And do you know if a chess master can see 30 moves ahead, how far ahead can God see? You zig, he zags. You move one way, he assigns an angel on you. You get out of his will, he pushes you back on track. He sends grace after you. He sends mercy after you. He sends his love after you. He draws you in with the Holy Spirit. You cannot outmaneuver the plan of God in your life. If a chess player can know 30 moves ahead of your decisions, I promise you, an omniscient God, an all-knowing, ever-present God is already there long before you make your decision. That's where how we begin to understand this whole idea of predestination and how it works in our life. And we'll talk about that. But right now, I want to go ahead and go into this scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. For it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Well, you know what? Let's just talk about predestination right now. Because if God knows the plans for me and He's declared plans for me, do I have any choices in those plans? See, some people understand predestination as you have no choices. Everything has been elected. Everything has been already pre-described. God ordained it all from the foundations of the earth. It's not like that chess player at all. It's pretty much that we're robotic and walking out our life because everything is planned. Well, that's not how I see it at all. I see that as predetermination. I don't believe in predetermination. I believe in free will. I believe that God gives us a choice. But I do believe in predestination. And you know what that looks like to me? That looks like whatever choice I make, God already knows the destination of that choice. If I choose right, He knows where that right road is going to take me. If I go straight, He knows where that's going to take me. If I go left, He knows where that's going to take me. Whatever choice I make, God knows the destination. That's what I believe that predestination means. That means that whatever choices you've made in life, good choices, wonderful, bad choices, He's still God and He's still there. And He knows that even if you make a bad choice, there is a provision in the plan of God to get you back into the perfect will of God. So this is why I love this verse. And I'm going to break this down. So keep your finger on that in your Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, when this verse was written by Jeremiah, Israel had just been invaded by the Babylonians. And so this was a great message of hope because it looked like there was no future. The Babylonians were about to take them into captivity, and because of that, they felt like their future was over. But God didn't just promise them that. You know what God promised them through Jeremiah? He said several things. First of all, He said, I'm going to visit you. That's the first thing. Then He said, I'm going to perform my good word to you. Even in captivity, I'm going to send you a word. And then He said, I will cause you to return back to your land. Let's put that in perspective where you live today. God says, maybe you made a wrong choice and it sent you into captivity, but I'm going to visit you. Not only that, He said, I'm going to perform my good word for you wherever you are. Whatever your circumstances look like, I'm still going to do a good word for you. And then He says, I'm going to cause you to return back to the promise that I've given to you. And then that is where He tells them the fourth thing. He says, I'm going to think good thoughts toward you. My plans toward you are not to harm you. That's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm not going to harm you. I am bringing you into a future filled with hope and promise and blessings. He also gave them this promise in Jeremiah 29:12, the very next verse. He said, when you call upon me, I'm going to hear you. In your bad circumstances, just cry out, I will hear you. And then He said in verse 13, when you seek me, you're going to find me. You know, you wouldn't have to seek for God if you weren't lost. And that's what happens in life. We make a choice, we get off track, we lose our way. Now, I'm not talking about lost in the sense of sinning. I'm talking about lost in the sense of you can't figure out what to do next. But you know what He said in verse 14 of Jeremiah 29? He said, I will be found by you. In other words, you're going to find me there, and I'm going to find you there. Even when life takes a wrong turn, even when things get messed up, even when things are not the way you plan for them, none of that took God by surprise. God still has a plan. Wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, God has a plan. So now let's break this verse down because I love this passage. So let's break it down. The first three words, for I know. Okay, let's not talk about the plans yet. We know there's a plan. But let me ask you this, what do you know? Jeremiah starts off by God saying to us, for I know. Well, what do I know about God? What I do know is that God fed the children of Israel and 40 years in the middle of the desert. Imagine that. No gardens, but God fed them anyway, miraculously. If God can do that for them, He can do that for anybody. Here's what I know. I know that God sent one angel and wiped out an entire Assyrian army in one night, 185,000 soldiers that were about to invade Israel, and God wiped them out in one night with one angel. That's what I know. What I know is that God has an army that's always ready to march, and it's not just angels. God also sends the earth, open up and swallow them. God also sends a wind. God can send a fire. So earth, wind, and fire is more than a band. It is also the army of God. And God's earth, God's wind, God's fire can always fight a battle for you. God can use water. God has stopped wars with floods many, many times. God is not going to forsake you where you are. He has a plan for you. So don't give up on God. You might give up on other things. You might give up on yourself. You might give up on people that you thought was dependable in your life, but don't give up on God. Let me tell you about God. God is a problem solver. God is a promise keeper. God is a deliverer. God is a creator. God is a master architect. God is a healer. He is a redeemer. God is a warrior. God is a waymaker. Don't give up on God. You may give up on other people. You may give up on circumstances. You may even give up on yourself and your ability to control your circumstances. But don't lose faith in the one who has a plan for you, because that's what the next part of this verse says. We've covered, "For I know." That's what we know about God. Look at the next line. "For I know the plans I have for you." Do you know that God has a plan for you? And before you were born, He put His Spirit in you that made you alive. Yes, I understand. Your parents formed the flesh, the tissue. But do you know what made that tissue alive? The Spirit of God inside of that tissue, and the soul of man that was not put there by other humans, it was put there by God. Inside of you, regardless of whether you're happy with your body or not, because that's your genetic makeup. You can't change your stature. You can't make yourself taller or shorter. You can't change some of the things in your physical nature, because that's a part of your physical DNA. But that's not the only DNA in you. You have, you know, as you get older, your body's going to change, because that is DNA. But you also realize you have spiritual DNA. The Spirit of God inside of you is your DNA inside of you, God DNA inside of you. You're not just coded with genetic codes. You're with genomes. You're not just coded with physiological genomes. You're also coded with God genomes. You're also coded with a God DNA that is inside of you. And that DNA gets activated in faith. That is why we call it being born again. When you come to Jesus Christ, you have DNA that is activated in you for the very first time. That's why we say, "I once was blind, now I see." We're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about spiritual blindness. When you come to Christ and you have this awakening, when you come alive in Christ, now your eyes can see things it couldn't see before. Your ears can hear things spiritually it couldn't hear before. Your heart can feel things that you never could feel before. You are alive in Christ. Hallelujah. You're not just alive physically. You were alive physically before that moment. But now you are alive in Christ. The DNA of God is inside of you. And that DNA can take you anywhere God wants to take you. That DNA can give you miracles. That DNA can give you spiritual gifts. That DNA can give you the plans that God has for you. I don't care how much you've messed up. I don't care what poor decisions you've made. The God DNA inside of you can regene you. That's what we call regeneration. Regeneration is something that takes place in our mind, our will, and our emotions. My mind is renewed in Christ. My will is renewed in Christ. My emotions are renewed in Christ. That's what we call regeneration. or regened. I have new genes in me because I have the DNA of God that's been activated in my life. There are special graces that are released in your life. You know, regardless of what you're going through, if you're spending more time at the hospital visiting a friend or a loved one or being there yourself, there's a grace for that. If you're facing financial issues in your life, there's a grace for that. If you're facing a diagnosis, there's grace for that. If you're facing relationship issues, there's grace for that. If you're facing the unknown, there's grace for that. If you're raising children, there's grace for that. And don't just depend upon books and videos and DVDs to tell you how to build your family. Let the Spirit of God show you. Let the Spirit of God that is activated in you teach you the things that only God can teach you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Here's the next part of that. These plans are to make sure you prosper. They're not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope in a future. God's plan for your life, even if you're in a waiting season, even if you're living through see nothing days like Elijah did, even if you're living in seed and you're waiting on time to produce the harvest, even if that's where you are right now, God's plans are for you to prosper. God is not trying to hurt you. God is not trying to harm you. He wants to bring you into a future that is filled with hope. A future that is filled with joy and peace and all the things you're trusting God for. I just want to say thank you to all of our ministry partners who help us take the gospel around the world and train pastors and leaders around the world. Because of you, we have been able to do so much for the kingdom and expand the kingdom of God. I was able to train over 5,000 church planters just in the country of India alone. We've worked all through Africa as well as Europe. Every year I go to Romania and train pastors, and we've trained hundreds of pastors there in Romania. We've graduated over 3,000 pastors from programs, certificate programs, just in Central America. Our teams and the young men and women that I've taken on the field with me, numerous young ministers who I just want to give them experience and help them to get their feet wet in ministry. We have gone around the world spreading the gospel, and none of this is possible without you. I just want to say thank you for your continued support, whether it's a one-time donation of any size or whether it is a monthly donation that you've decided to partner with us monthly. I just want to say thank you for that. And for those of you that are looking for ways to give to this ministry, because it is a good seed to sow in and we're doing things around the world, here's a screen that would tell you some easy ways that you can give to this ministry. But once again, I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart and from all of those lives that you are changing. It is my honor to be your ambassador to the world. Do you realize that God is for you, not against you? You need to say that out loud to yourself. God is for me, not against me. You might have to repeat that over and over every single day. God is for me, not against me. God is for me, not against me. You need to say that until you believe it. Don't see God as someone who's trying to punish you. God loves you. You are His child. God would do anything to bring you into His plan of hope and prosperity. That is what He wants you to have, and that is what He's trying to give you. You realize there are angels on assignment right now just for you. I love to think about this whole idea of camping angels. You know, that sounds like, you know, roasting marshmallows and hot dogs around a campfire. Well, I don't know what they're doing, but the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamp round about those who fear Him and delivers them. So I don't know if they're roasting spiritual marshmallows or even if they can do that. I know the angels ate with Abraham, so maybe it's possible. Maybe they are eating something. Who knows? But what I do know is this, that the angels are camping, just waiting on something to happen so they can deliver you. They're not there to hurt you. They're there or just protect you. They're there to deliver you. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him, that's your respect and love and fear of God, and delivers them. God already has a plan to deliver you. God already has a plan to pull you out. You just have to believe that and believe in him. Angels brought food to Elijah and even cooked it for him. Well, that's what angels can do for you. There was a little lady in our church in St. Louis that such a blessing to me. Her name was Ellen Nell. Now, Ellen Nell was in her 90s when she passed away, and we called her Sister Nell. Sister Nell lived through the Great Depression. And she had some stories, unlike stories that you hear nowadays. They had no food in the house, and they went to church, and they had no gas in the car. And they only had $2 to their name. And she said that she and her husband, Jesse, decided to give God one of those dollars and put the other dollar in the car with gas. I guess you could buy a lot of gas for $1 back then. You certainly can't now. And so they had $2. One they gave in the offering as a tithe of faith, and one they used to buy gas. And while Jesse was pumping the gas, he looked down and there was a $10 bill laying on the ground. Now they had just paid tithe on $10 they did not have. And now they have $10. She told this story until the day she died. She loved telling this story because it was so faith building. Here's the rest of the story. When they got home, there were groceries on their front porch. Now you would have to know Sister Nell. When Sister Nell told this story, her hands would go to shaking and her head would go to shaking. She would get so excited telling about it. I heard her tell that story over and over and over. She believes 100% that an angel dropped that $10 bill and an angel brought that food to her house, because there is no other explanation. The same way the angel brought the food to Elijah and cooked the meal, the same way the angels came and ministered to Jesus at the end of his 40-day fast, she believed that the angels came to her house and ministered to her. You know, that's why God says he wants you to have hope about the future. God doesn't want you to be discouraged about the future. He wants you to have hope about the future. That's why I love Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3 says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies," hallelujah for mercy, "through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And this is where that song comes from. The next line says, "Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." I love that passage. You need to look that up and read it. You need to write it down, put it on your refrigerator. Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. And read that, because it's filled with encouragement. You know, don't forget about grace and mercy either. God is sending grace to you. Grace means that you do get what you don't deserve. But not only is God sending you grace, God's sending you mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you do deserve. You know, if you're in bad circumstances right now, you are in a perfect setup for a miracle. You're in the perfect setup for a God moment. Everybody wants a miracle, but no one wants to need a miracle. Everyone wants to see a miracle if it's somebody else's miracle, but no one wants to be in circumstances to need a supernatural intervention, which is what a miracle is. But can I tell you, if you need one, God has a plan for you. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 that we see through a glass darkly. You know what that verse really means? It means that there are two worlds that coexist. There's the world you can see, but you can't see to the other side of that window. It's kind of like a two-way mirror where you're looking at a mirror and you can only see your reflection. But if you're on the other side of that glass, you can see through that mirror. That's usually what we put in the nurseries so we can, you know, moms can watch the service and take care of their children. Well, that two-way mirror is a perfect example of what life looks like. You got two worlds coexisting. There are angels right there where you are right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in your car or listening to this message, if you're sitting at home in front of your computer or watching it on your phone, I'm here to tell you the angels are sitting there with you. You can't see them, but they're all around you. They're there. You can only see through the glass darkly, but God has His warriors camping around you. God has a plan for your life. You see, faith and feelings are mutually exclusive. People think that because they can't feel like they have faith, they don't have faith, but they're not the same thing. See, faith is about hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Feelings are, they're fickle. Feelings are like a roller coaster ride. You can feel up and down in 5 minutes. You can go from joy to sorrow in 10 minutes or less. Some people 10 seconds. Don't trust your feelings to tell you what kind of faith you have. Your feelings are fickle. They're going to change. You can watch a movie and feel different. You can get a phone call and feel different. You can read something and feel different. You can take a vitamin and feel different. You can drink water and feel different. Your feelings are not trustworthy enough to tell you what kind of faith you have. No, your faith is in God. Your faith is mutually exclusive from your feelings. Nowhere does the Bible say that faith is a feeling. So if you have faith if you feel like it or if you don't. Do you love God? Do you know God? Do you believe in God? And do you have hope that God can bring you through? If you do, you have faith regardless of how you feel. If you're sad, depressed, oppressed, angry, regardless of what's going on in your life, that doesn't mean you don't have faith. If you trust God, even in your raw emotions, God can still bring you out and deliver you. That's why the psalmist David said, I was young and now I'm old. This is something I can tell you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. David was letting us know through this psalm that God has a plan to take care of you in every circumstances. You know, I was in Texas many years ago preaching a camp meeting. The Holy Spirit told me to do something that I've never done before. He told me that instead of having an altar call to take up a widow's offering. Now, I'm in this large camp meeting with thousands of people there, and honestly, I was a little intimidated to do this, but I know God and I didn't want to let Him down. So when I got to the end of the sermon, I said, I know typically in our tradition, we will have an altar call and people will come and lay their burdens on the altar and we'll come down and encourage them and pray with them. But that's not what we're going to do. I want all the widows and widowers in the building to come here and line up. Well, to my surprise, there were hundreds of them. I was thinking a handful. There must have been 200 or more widows and widowers that came up there. And I said, instead of getting something tonight, we're going to give something. If you want God's plan for your life, I want you to come and lay some money in the hands of one of these widows and widowers and bless them. I had no idea what was going to happen next. I didn't know if I'd get booed. I didn't know if they would leave. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'd never done anything like this before. But what I saw was a miracle. I saw people climbing over tops of the chairs in front of them. It was like a rush. They were walking over top of each other trying to get there, and they were crying and putting money in the hands of these widows and widowers. And I saw little widow women, they were dancing. They were standing there dancing because they just come to church that night and they had no idea that God had a plan to meet their need. And there was one person who told me later that they were writing checks. They gave away $250,000 that night from their savings. And they had to go put the money in their checking account the next day because they used up every check they had. And some of the checks the Holy Spirit told them to write were $10,000 each. Can you imagine being a little widow lady with walking out of church with a handful of money and a $10,000 check? Well, that's what happened that night when that miracle offering happened in Texas at that camp meeting. God has a plan. God can do miracles that you can't even fathom if you just believe in Him. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. You know, David Wilkerson, before he passed away, left a prophecy. He said that a plague would hit America. He wrote this in 1986. A plague would hit America that would shut down New York City. And it would affect the world, and that the bars and even the churches would be closed. And he said, after that will come the third great awakening revival, and the world will see a revival unlike they've ever seen before. Well, you know, I believe that was COVID-19. I believe that plague he referred to that shut down New York City and the cities of this world and shut down commerce and everything he predicted, I believe we've just come through that. If that is true, and I believe it is, you know what the next thing on God's plan is? In the midst of chaos, revival. That's God's next plan. Can you imagine if after all of this, the world breaks out in a supernatural visitation where the glory of God comes down and invades our life? I am ready for that. I am ready for God to reach another generation. You know what I know? I know because of the virtual environment we've had to exist in for a long time now, more people are hearing the gospel than have ever heard it before on iPads and iPhones. Yeah, churches look a little different. The pews may look empty, but I promise you, the ears of the people are hearing the gospel. The church pews might have looked empty, but the gospel is going out on the airwaves unlike anything you've ever seen. Revival has come to the lens of a camera, and people are going to be saved around the world. You know, I don't know who all listens to Hope in the Word, but if someone happens to listen to this message today and you have never invited Christ into your heart, I want to close this teaching today with a prayer that I call the prayer of salvation. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer. It's not the only thing you have to do, but it's the beginning of your journey with God. So as I close out today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And if you know someone who needs to hear this, please share this message with them and encourage them today. Here is the prayer. And if you've never invited Christ into your heart, pray it with me right now. Father in heaven, I admit that I've sinned, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Come into my heart. Live inside of me and help me to live for you. I now confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you for the rest of my life. Amen. Now, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you're saved, and you just did that if you repeated that prayer. Now, the next thing you need to do is get in your Bible. Stay in a Bible study, this one right here or another one. Get in a good Bible-believing church somewhere where you can grow with the saints of God. And remember this, no matter what happens in your life, nothing takes God by surprise. Well, I certainly hope that this teaching is blessing you. Let me tell you quickly about a special offer that we're giving right now at Brian Cutshaw Ministries on two of our most popular products here. One is the last book that I've written called Bows and Arrows. People ask me all the time, if you could only recommend one thing or one book that you've written to read, what would it be? And I always say Bows and Arrows. This is a book that talks about what God is doing right now on the earth and how He's about to use my generation to bless another generation. It's an incredible book on mentoring and just multicultural and multi-generational ministry. Now, we're putting this together with one of our top sellers and most requested items, the top six most requested sermons. You can get both of these right now at a real bargain. So go to briancutshaw.com and look at special offers. And this is offer number HW003. That's Hope in the Word 003. God bless you.